Don't.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing I would say is that if you're going to do it, you know, because obviously that's, it's everyone's, you know, it's their mortgage at
well,
the end of the day.
You think you're going to save yourself money.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So if you're going to do it, you're going to have to spend a lot of time at least doing some preliminary research into what mortgage, you know, well, obviously a lot of people know their servicer, but a lot of times they don't know who the investor is. We'll have to go through the investor programs, the Fannie Freddie. You know, if they've got a Fannie Freddie or the FHA, which, you know, that's pretty extensive research to see where you fit and to see what the qualifications are. Then, you know, depending on what that individual is doing in their life, I mean, you're probably going to have to set aside about 5-10 hours a week, you know, to not only do the research, but to talk to the bank, to
just
put
keep
together
communications
your
going.
Yeah. So
right.
It's, you know, I mean, it's going to be a lot of time. But again, if someone wants to do it on their own, then it's certainly something you can do.
Tammy, something I think the audience would need to know too is oftentimes we're educating the banks, as Ryan was saying, when there's policies and guidelines that can really be a moving target. They can change from week to week. Many times we will attach an excerpt of that particular guideline and cite, you know, 22.8, you know, guideline of the HAFA program or whatever that program is. It might be a U.S. Treasury. And the person at the bank may say, we've got a meeting in a couple of weeks about that. Could you tell me about it?
Right.
So many times we're educating and it's a trickle up.
Right.
And that's really, really important because we really are on the cutting edge and ahead of the curve on the knowledge.
Are. Well, because a lot of the loss mitigators at these banks are fairly low-paid administrative people, and they can't keep up with all changes.
That's correct.
I mean, they're inundated with files. In case you just joined us, you're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. We're speaking with Elizabeth Kaiser and Ryan Hyde from Kaiser Law Firm, talking about short sales. So, guys, what's the time frame from start to finish on a typical short sale?
Good question.
It varies significantly, but usually it's good to take it from the initial contract offer, the first person who puts an offer into the house. Which could take some time because obviously sometimes you list it and, you know, you got to drop it a few times. But usually, you know, you're looking at 60 to 90 days from the initial contract offer to approval or to a counter. And this is actually, that leads me into something I really want to mention. And this goes back to your point about homeowners negotiate, you know, if they want to do it on their own.
Right.
Those counters offers that you get, which are becoming more and more frequent, they're not something that the homeowner necessarily has to accept. I think a lot of them are under the impression and that you do, and usually
these are counter offers
from the
lender,
from
the bank,
saying, okay, we'll accept this contract. You sign a promissory note for, you know, $30,000 payable over the next 10 years, something like that.
I see.
That's unusual.
Right.
Well, that's a counter offer. That's a counter offer. And
you guys help with that though?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a big part of it. And, you know, when I go back to the seller and I, you know, I obviously have to convey that to him, I start by saying, look, this is something that you do not have to accept. And you can easily get this done without it. And we've negotiated $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 down to zero.
Absolutely.
And that's something without us that maybe they wouldn't have done.
And that's what we do. Yeah, we really advocate their position.
Right.
Yeah, that is a big deal because I've seen a lot of people that have accepted short sales. And they did have to sign a promissory note because in their mind at the time, they think it's something that's they're never going to do anything about.
Right. And it's a take it or leave it. And it absolutely is not. Absolutely is
not. It sits in a, you know, it sits in a pile of accounts receivable that they're going to sit there and wait for you to get back on your feet financially and then may come after you 5 years down the road.
Exactly.
And that's what's happening as well. Sometimes we get calls, Doug, where people have short sold their home 3 years ago and their bank is coming after them for $75,000 difference or whatever that deficiency may be. And they were told that they got to wash their hands of it, but they didn't.
And tell us briefly about the Debt Forgiveness Act and how that applies to short sales.
And that's still up in the air for this year and for last year. But, you know, for those listening who aren't familiar with it, basically it was an automatic, you know, exemption for any forgiven debt. Or any forgiven amount on mortgage debt.
Right. So let's say that you short sell your house and the lender takes a loss of $50,000, then you're going to get a 1099-INT for interest in the mail that's going to tell how much that the bank wrote off that you need to claim on your taxes. And the Debt Forgiveness Act was letting you write that off in many cases,
Exactly. Where you would not have to consider that as income. Now, That act has been up in the air for the last few years. Actually, in 2014, I think it was December 8th or 9th, it was decided that it would be extended for 2014 and made retroactive. So really, it was extended for the last 3 weeks or 2 weeks of the year and then made to cover anyone who had mortgage debt who, you know, forgiven in all of 2014.
Time.
So there were a lot of clients that I got to give some really, really good news to who closed in March or April or whatever.
And I'll say the way around that that a lot of people can take is using the insolvency clause.
Exactly.
I was just going to mention that. Yeah, exactly. And that's been around for a long time. And most of our clients, when they close, they are insolvent, so they still are exempt from taxation. But I think I would be remiss if we didn't mention that we're not tax attorneys.
Right.
So that's
none
very
of us,
careful.
I'm not a CPA either, so I'm not giving tax advice there, but you may want to mention the insolvency clause to your CPA, because when you turn in the 1099 to them,
that's right.
Exactly. They may not even ask that question.
Exactly.
They're just
going to
count that in your income. Yep. And most, I don't know what the percentage is, but I'd say a high percentage of people that do have to short sale don't have a positive net worth. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a positive net worth, then you should be able to use that clause.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And we have had meetings with tax attorneys, in fact, so that we can be as knowledgeable as possible on that particular issue. And they've said the same thing. They said, you know, more times and more often than not, they are insolvent at the time of closing, so they're still exempt and protected.
Right.
Very good. Well, if anybody wants to reach out to you guys, what's the best way to contact your firm?
Well, we have a phone number, 636-220-2218. We also have a website at www.kaiserlawfirm, but Kaiser's with a Y, not an I.
Yep.
I like to emphasize that.
Yes. K-A-Y-S-E-R.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Kaiserlawfirm.com. And those are the two best ways to contact us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, I'm gonna make sure to put all your information on our website. Mm-hmm. So if you go to smartwithyourmoney.com, look for the blog post for Kaiser Law Firm and short sales. And make sure that anybody can link to you there and reach out for that free consultation. I think that's really important that if you need advice in this area, get the free consultation. Call them up on the phone and talk to them. Mm-hmm. So, guys, really appreciate you coming in. And want to highly encourage, if anybody's out there and you're in the situation where you're upside down, know that there are solutions.
Good solutions.
Being the ostrich and bury your head in the sand is not
that's
a solution.
Right.
You know, don't just ignore it. There are some details that have to be ground through, but there are many benefits of short sale, and you need to get professional advice in that area. So, guys, thanks again for coming in.
Thank
Absolutely.
You, Doug.
Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
So don't forget, just a reminder for you, next Sunday at 4 p.m., you don't want to miss the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. Becoming a financial juggernaut is as simple as listening every Sunday at 4 p.m., modeling advice to the experts, and implementing your personal plan. See you next week.